The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And we begin the second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is October 4th, 2021. Let's go back to the phones here before I start throwing some statistics at you here. Let's talk to Tom in Baltimore. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Steve. I'm glad you're doing better.
Yeah, I am.
I think all the prayers you got worked. I talked to you at the beginning of, I guess it was a week ago, that I would keep you in my prayers. And in fact,
the next day,
I believe it was, or the day after, you came on and said you really thought the prayers had helped. Yeah. And I'm speaking of all the prayers that you got, of course. And I do believe prayer works. And I think especially they're powerful when you're able to contact the person that you're praying for and let them know that you're praying for them. I think it just adds octane to their power.
I like that. I like that thought. You know, what's interesting about it, Tom, is that it didn't work. I didn't plan on this happening, but I got a jury summons to be in a court case. I was supposed to show up today, and I emailed them, said, hey, I've been sick since last Thursday, and I'm improving, getting better. But I kind of planted a seed that I had something else, you know, I'm talking about. And, of course, they wrote back quickly right away. No, don't come in. You stay. You're excused. So I got off of jury duty. What I really would want to say to the jury duty thing hereafter, all the education I've learned about the injustices in the judicial system here, and actually that show I did a couple weeks ago with Gary Corsair on the Groveland Four back in 1949, I don't have a lot of faith in judicial system. I think one thing that really bothers me that about the judicial system is I could spend my week or 2 weeks on a jury, spend time going through the evidence, making a decision, and then it can be overruled later on by a governor who's departing office and saying, I'm going to give these people, I'm going to pardon them all. You've undone everything I worked for, wasted my time. I don't like that. And that actually makes a governor, or when a president does it, makes him a king. I don't like that. I don't think they should have those kind of powers. I think if there's any kind of pardons, it should go to a pardon board who looks over evidence that looks sketchy and maybe we made a mistake here. But for one man to pardon all these people before they leave office puts them into being a king, and I don't like that. It's a bad thing to do, and that should have never happened.
That's an interesting point. And relative to the what I like to call the injustice system, as a retired police detective, you know, I believed in it. When I started out as a young cop, I really did. And it took me about 10 years, a little slow in the learning curve for me to realize just how corrupt the court system is and in so many ways.
You also had to play that game, too. I mean, what happens to a police officer that squeals on another officer for an injustice? What happens to him? He pretty much loses his career. He carries around this. He's a snitch. He goes to another department. I mean, you do the right things. You have a moral compass. You have a conscience. You see a wrong. You must report what you see is wrong. And when you do so, just like a whistleblower, like Julian Assange and Bradley Manning, doing the right thing, blowing the whistle on something that was wrong, an atrocity, and they turn out and turn the tables on you, and now you're the bad guy, and you lose your career over it. What is wrong here with this?
In my line of work, and Steve, in yours, I would venture to guess it's probably the same. Our first steps in confronting an issue like you're bringing up with an officer doing the wrong thing would be to confront that officer one-on-one and have a serious talk with them about what they're doing. Because, let's face it, just like in your medical field, people make mistakes. And law enforcement can be tricky sometimes. There's so many variables, like in the medical field. And, for me and for most officers that I knew, our first step wasn't to report another officer to the higher command, but rather to confront them one-on-one. And a lot of times we got results that way. Depending on the infraction, we would let them know that it was either entirely unacceptable and that they need to work on it. And if it happened again, what the consequences would be. Ultimately, you may have to report them to the higher command.
Yeah.
But you do bring up a good point.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Steve.
I lived in Santa Rosa. There was a case, you can look it up. I can't remember what his name is. Andy something. Young Hispanic kid, about 12, 13 years old, that was shot by a couple officers walking home, left a friend's house. He'd lent this rifle, this play rifle that shoots little darts or something. He had the orange tip taken off it, but it was a dart gun. He was carrying it on his shoulder. He was walking home. He had headphones on, or earbuds in his ears. Police officers rolled up on him, thought he was a gang member, and didn't. They had many ways to confront him. Instead, they decided to put a bunch of lead in him, like 7 or 8 shots, and the entrance wounds in the back and the side, which means they gunned him down. So if they called for a command to stop where you are, they wanted to see if it was a real gun or not. He had earbuds in. He never even got to turn around. They just assumed. This was a bad shooting. This was a very, very bad shooting. Kid was an honor student. He was in the band. No gang affiliation. Just a kid walking home who picked up his little toy rifle from a friend who had it for a party or something and died. So what's the city do for Santa Rosa? City of Santa Rosa says, well, we'll make this all better. Nothing happened to the officers. They shared stories. They kept their stories in line. They covered each other. It was a very bad shooting. So we'll give you a park. We'll put a park in his name. That'll clear everything up. And that's how they fixed it. This was a bad shooting. You should look this case up. It was a very bad shooting.
Yeah. No, I believe it. I really hate to hear stories like that. And we're trained in the academy specifically on dealing with certain medical situations, like a person who is deaf. And so, that comes real close to what you're describing, although he wasn't deaf. For all intents and purposes, with the earphones, he was at that point in time.
Yeah, he was.
And one of the first things a deaf person, we were told, will do is hold up their card. And a lot of officers prior to, I guess, this training, were seeing that as them reaching for something and would be shooting these people. So I really hate to hear stories like that. Any good cop, we're the ones who hate the bad cops the most. And we do what we can when we're on the job. And as a retired cop like myself, we do what we can to continue to get the word out that there are bad cops and that they should be dealt with. Yeah. Absolutely. The reason I called, I hope the dad/doctor is still listening, because on 8/1 of this year, August 1st, there's a show called The Covert Report with Susan Lindauer. Yeah. She lives here in Maryland, not too far from me, and she had Jim Fetzer on, and he gave his guide to workplace response letters if COVID vaccines are told to the employee that they're mandatory. And he went down a 12-step bullet point letter, which highlighted a number of medical reasons, questions, really, is what they were, questions that he claimed and sounded correct, no employer could answer. Also, several of the bullet points had to do with telling the employer that, of course, you know, I'll be glad to comply. However, you know, I need these questions answered first. And like I said, there were medical questions. There were also questions about the employer covering any adverse effects, not only for the medical bills, but for the family who would be put out by the person not being able to work. His reasoning was don't quit, don't refuse, simply present them with this letter, and if enough people do it, in his mind, and I tend to agree, most folk, or most employers would not push the issue because they would realize the type of liability and legal jeopardy they were putting themselves in. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to let that father know that that may be an avenue his son would want to pursue. Right, yeah. I also heard something very similar on the Alex Jones show about 2 months ago. I was looking for it during the break. I can't find the episode, but if the father goes to band.video, he can probably find it. He had another lawyer on who was talking about the very same thing. So I think these letters presented to employers who are demanding vaccines of their employees, I think that's the smart move, and that's what I recommend.
That's a good way to start here. If you by chance come by that letter of all those recommendations of questions that should be asked, please forward that to me. I would love to put that on the website for RBN. And you can send it over to my email. It's offthebeatenpathsteve@gmail.com. And I'd put that on the website in a heartbeat. You know, what's interesting is that anything that's by law, anything in contents of any kind that are ingested, absorbed, or injected, they have to tell you the contents of what's in that substance, in that food, whatever it is, that liquid, they have to tell you what's in it. Well, using the example of peanut allergies, well, that was created by the vaccine industry, by the way. But the point is, if a machine is using, processing certain kind of nuts, and then it says also we process peanuts with that, they actually have to list that on the bag as saying, you know what, the machinery used to process this product was also processing peanuts. So if you have a peanut allergy, you don't want to eat these nuts. So they have to tell you the contents for ingestion, absorption, and injection. Now, the very idea that the pharmaceuticals are refusing to hand over, they give a couple items that are in their vaccines, their shots, but they will not list the entire contents of their shot. That's a violation. You do not have to take something. They're violating the law right off the bat by not putting listing the ingredients of their vaccine. Now, they're probably claiming it's a patent secret. We're talking about a health pandemic here, right? Supposedly, right? If this is about health and you're worried more about a patent than health, you know, this is what we need to play the logic game of saying these questions have to be answered and the contents of the vial must be exposed in full detail. There can be no ifs, ands, or buts. We have to know what's in that. I'm not going to take it anyway because I know what this is about. This is not about health. As I've mentioned before, if you build in groups that are exempt from taking it, then it's not about health. And that's what I'm going to use logic. If I need to go that distance, I will bring logic. Why are there exemptions for these people that don't have to take it and I have to take it? Why is a corporation that has less than 100 employees exempt from taking the shots, but somebody who has 100 or more must take the shots? You see, you point out the flip-flop, the double standard here of this doesn't make sense. If this is truly a pandemic and about health, then there are zero. There are no exemptions whatsoever. The very idea that there are exemptions built in tells you it's not about health.
True, true. And, you know, like people have asked me about legal cases, and I tell them one strategy is to look for the errors in the case. And there almost always are errors, either from the genesis of the investigation or how the case is being handled. And I think if you drill down hard, and you brought up several of these points on this whole quote-unquote COVID thing and quote-unquote vaccines, I think there's a lot of errors that you can find in where they violated their own policy, such as the FDA and the other government agencies that are lying to you. For example, the lie that the comrade told about the one vaccine being fully approved by the FDA. And then we learned, and I think I learned this from you, Steve, that what they're putting out there is not the actual one that was approved. It is still the emergency use authorization one.
Yes, it is. For Pfizer, it is. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not ready yet. But you know what I think may happen, to be honest with you? As crooked as these people are, don't be surprised if they send back the vials that are under the emergency use authorization. Do not be surprised if they send them back and just repackage and relabel them. Do not be surprised. They're that corrupt.
By the way,
they would do that.
If they've got a standard protocol for testing any new drug, by the way, that's no real assurance to me, because you see all the legal commercials on TV about drugs that have been fully approved and gone through the process that turned out to have problems. But how do you speed up time? If time is a factor in doing these testings and coming up with a final approval, they don't have a time machine, so they must have cut corners somewhere, right?
Well, you understand that 45% of the funding for the FDA comes from the pharmaceuticals. A little bit of a conflict of interest here, wouldn't you say? 45% of their funding comes from the pharmaceutical. Of course they're going to improve these things. They're going to approve these things.
And
it's just a run through the mill. It's a protocol.
FDA,
it's a little standard thing they do. Yeah.
And the FDA, you know, I lost confidence in them years ago after reading Eric Pearson and Sandy Shaw's book, Life Extension, when I realized the fact that the FDA has killed so many people by their denial of certain medications being allowed to be used. Listen, this is, if you're really in a free country, you should be able to put anything in your body that you choose to put into your body. My argument, even as a police officer, against prohibition of drugs and ending the drug war was, listen, if you allow the government to tell you what you can't put into your body, it's just a matter of time before they tell you what you must put into your body.
That's
people
right.
scoffed at that, and now I believe I'm vindicated.
I think you're right. I think you're 100% right.
Steve, thanks.
You know what?
What
you first should start with, though, I start from the very beginning. First of all, we've pointed out the definition of a vaccine. They're trying to reinvent the definition of vaccine. Vaccine is to prevent the pathogen you wish not to have. They're selling that the vaccine now is that you can still get it, but it'll minimize your symptoms. That is not the true definition of a vaccine. So you have to start from the very beginning. So now we're seeing all these vax people coming in sick. 95% of the attendants at Cornell University are vaccinated. 98% at Duke University are vaccinated. They're seeing a rise in cases, COVID cases, of their vaxxed people. So guess what? Boom. It doesn't work. It's not a vaccine to prevent. We need to say the definition is prevention, not minimize symptoms.
And I understand they changed the definition on vaccine to cover that. How crooked of them. And also, this will be the last thing. You're right about science. By definition, science is never settled.
Never settled. Never. We learn new stuff all the time.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Tom, for the call. Appreciate it. Stay tuned. We've got a couple more callers on the line here. This is Steve Elkins sitting in for John Stadmiller. This is the National Intel Report. 512-248-8252.
We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we are back. It's National Intro Report. Right after starting off with the very beginning of the puzzle here, the vaccination, definition of vaccination, I'd actually have to say, looking at the survivability rates, I'm looking at them right now, they've actually added two new categories, the 70-plus non-institutionalized and the 70-plus institutionalized. The 70-plus non-institutionalized is 97.6% survivability. And the 70-plus institutionalized is now 94.5% and survivability. So other than that, the other age groups, 0 to 19, 20 to 29, 30 to 39, 40 to 49, 50 to 59, and 60 to 69 are all in the 99.99986969, all in the 99%. So why is it necessary to have the pharmaceuticals working on in lightning speed here on warp speed to bring us a vaccine when we have a survivability so high? You see, the pieces of the puzzle that don't fit the storyline that you're seeing, there's something else much bigger, and it's not health. It can't be health. And I haven't even talked about, spoken about Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, depopulation, taking away of private lands, sustainability, development. Factor that in later on. This is not about health. This is not about health. Exclusion groups. You're excluded, you're excluded, you're excluded. You groups are. You guys aren't. You're not, you're not, you're not, you're not. Does that make sense to you? It's not about health. Let's go back to the phones here and talk to Pat in Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome, Pat.
Hi, Steve. I'm glad you're better and you have immunity.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about something I've had heard a couple of people talk about, and I think it needs to be thought out. Mm-hmm. I hear people saying we need to get out on the street like Australia, but you know, Australia doesn't have guns, and, mm-hmm. but we do, and that's a no-no for getting out of the street. Kent State University in May 1970, it was a protest scheduled against bombing in Cambodia.
Yep.
And they had every, you know, they told them to go home. They didn't go home because they didn't want to be broken up. They wanted to be there. They had motorcyclists. They had all kind of people. They were throwing rocks and tear gas bombs and all that kind of stuff. And so the governor ended up calling out mayor and governor, the National Guard with bayonets, okay, yep. bullets in their guns. And what happened was, as I recollected, it's not what I just read, but a shot was fired. And so that had them fighting. They fired shots. And four students were killed mm-hmm. and 11 wounded. But I say if that happens here, which has been prophesied that it's going to happen by a guy named Dimitri Duderman, and he said people will be on the street fighting the government, and police will have to be brought in and break it up. And when they do, we won't be watching, and we're going to be attacked by five different countries with Piper Cub type planes across Duster. That's another prophecy. But anyway, together we can't fight the enemies attacking from outside while we're trying to fight the people on the street all over. It's probably a good communist thing to get people out there like that, but people need to think about it, because the best thing that you could do is mow them down with water. I've seen that done. They run all the people at the beach off who gathered, thousands of them, and they told them to go home. And they want to practice their crowd control, stupid beach police, and they started mowing them down with water. Well, they accidentally got people in their rooms asleep. So that was about the end of anybody coming to that beach for the summer. But I think that's what they need to do if this does happen, if the communists do get people out on the street, knowing that we all have guns, it won't work. We just can't do it.
Well, the problem with your theory there, Pat, is that it's probably not going to be our own military firing on their own citizens. It's not going to happen. It's going to be UN troops, UN peacekeepers,
That's
and they're
right.
not peacekeepers. That's what's going to happen. Yeah.
Anything can happen. And I know the communists would love to see that happen.
Sure they would.
That's what they hoped in Washington on the 6th of January. They hoped that would happen, and it didn't happen. And they had to go ahead with the impeachment because they already had it all planned.
Yeah, they did.
But
they did.
By the argument.
Let me tell you an interesting story here, real Pat, before I let you go here. We'll go to this commercial break. I'll come back, tell you this little story. And I got another caller in the loop here. So stay tuned.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me, and what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy. Well, my wife returns from taking my little girl to school. She got beads of perspiration as she tries to keep her cool. She says that mess, it don't get no better. There's gonna come a day someone's gonna get killed out there. And I turn to her and say, Texas.
I've always loved that song. Chris Rea. Chris Rea, Texas. No, that's one of John's favorites. Before I let you go here, Pat, I'm going to give you an interesting story, something interesting. You never know who's going to be in that bed when you're taking care of people. I wish sometimes I would have found out earlier, but I actually took care of a guy named Tom Lowe, Professor Tom Lowe, L-O-U-G-H, in the ICU at Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital. And I can't remember his diagnosis at the time. It could have been congestive heart failure or something. I'm not sure. He actually is one of the members of the Kent State 25. He was the assistant professor who actually organized the protest in Cambodia. And he was jailed. FBI took him and nabbed him, and he was in jail for a little while of being an instigator, troublemaker, bringing about this terrible event. He was later released and vindicated. I met him, and like I said, in Santa Rosa. He was at that time a professor at Sonoma State University, and I believe it was sociology department. But I didn't know this until it was too late. He had already passed away. He gave me a CD. He was a musician. He played ragtime piano, pretty dang good. And by the time I found out he was a musician, and I mean a good musician, but that he was part of the Kent State 25, he'd passed away. But I thought about contacting his wife and actually see if I can get her on the show and talk about the incident itself. Okay. I might try to do that. She's actually a professor at the university still, so I might be able to reach her and have her on the show and talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it seems cruel to get the water out to people, but those police people, they were just weird. They just run up and down the beach with their jeeps, and he wore cowboy boots in Florida. I don't know, just cowboy.
Yeah.
And they tried to say a fight broke out, but you know, they had just traveled for many states to get there, and it was a lot of them. It was late.
Sure.
They would have gone to sleep in no time, but who caused it all? Nobody came back the next year, but it'd be worse in this case right here.
Pat, I need to move on here. I appreciate your call. Always do. Thank you for your call. Back to the phones here. Let's talk to Tony in Pennsylvania. Tony, what's on your mind?
Hi there. Hi, Steve. Hey, you can't buck the system, Steve. If you're a wealthy man and you buck the system, hey, they can destroy you like Mr. Clapton. You know, he found that out. Now, if you don't have much money, no big deal. But if you're a lieutenant colonel and you buck the system like that one fella did, you wind up in jail.
Yeah.
So that's just the pressure they have. Hey, the money is in the COVID jab. It's not in the alternative stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's in the COVID jab.
Yeah. Well, you know, it should be a red flag to everybody when they eliminate the early treatments so that it makes sure it never resolves itself. Removing monoclonal antibodies. I know our governor down here, Ron DeSantis, has got that going big time. He actually was denied by Biden. Of course, he's going to deny Ron DeSantis because he's the Donald Trump, you know. So DeSantis actually went to a pharmaceutical and actually got it going. So we have a couple clinics over here on the where the villages are, big area down here in Florida, in the central part of Florida, the villages, and they have monoclonal antibody clinics now. So also, you know, it should be a red flag to see that these things were taken away or you know, pretty much taken away. Ivermectin taken away, hydroxychloroquine taken away, chloroquine taken away. Zinc missing off your shelves here for some reason. There's no zinc on the shelves. Vitamin D supplements, some there. B vitamins, some of them are missing. You know, removing the early treatments should be a major red flag for everybody, even your people who've decided to take this. Why would they remove the early treatments that would be, you know, keep you from going in the hospital? Because now we know the COVID jab is not saving you. You could still end up in the hospital. So wouldn't you want to treat it early on and make sure you never make it in the hospital? These things have all been removed. There's a reason why. And
yeah, the reason
that's not being addressed. That's not being addressed by the mainstream media at all.
That's the reason. Profit margin.
Yeah.
Hey, when Eric
Clapton said, over people.
Hey, I'm gonna talk about this thing. It hurt me. But then they got to him and says, hey, Eric, you're destroying big pharma profit margin. Just think how many people will believe you and we won't have them as customers. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's profit. It's profit. Well, there's more to it than the profit. I mean, they're gonna get you sick and then you're gonna pay to try to get your health back. You know, like I said, the old saying is that
they're gonna get you every way.
The man who has his health has a mountain of dreams. The man who doesn't have his health has but one dream, to get his health back.
Yeah, you're going to use your pension and your IRA and everything else you had, get yourself healthy again. Then
you're going to bleed
penny.
You dry. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the call. I got to move on. I got two more in the loop here, though, and we're going to talk to Fred in Michigan. Welcome, Fred.
Hey, Michael, or Steve, sorry. Karen Kingston is interviewed by Greg Hunter on BitChute recently, very recently. COVID-19 are poisonous to that effect. Mm-hmm. She confirms COVID-19 jabs are poisonous. And in the presentation with Greg Hunter, mm-hmm. that's a USA Watchdog guy, formerly of CNN, he cites at the 11:47 mark in that presentation, the 2013 U.S. Congressional, either Hoffer, he is in Paul, old double F, it's Frank E.R., Hoffer or Proffer Act, 2013, that suspends, in the context of EUA, disclosure, full disclosure of toxicity and the elementary constituent ingredients of the drug or the injection step. And then in 2016, the Cures Act, that is at the 23-minute, 56-second mark, where she begins to elucidate that. 13 December 2016, the Cures Act, that suspends any provision for informed consent. So that's a super critical presentation for people to view. She also gets into the intimate, diabolical details regarding the constituent elements of the kill shots directly from the patent, as she did with Stu Peters. And in that one, she's with the Stu Peters, that's titled Deadly Shots, Former Pfizer Employee. She was their quality, their QC data analyst. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now she's solo independent. Right. But in that one, she cited one of the statutory codes relative to describing, she cites Dawn Johnston, the assistant DOJ attorney, she totally eviscerates Dawn Johnston in like 90 seconds. So any of this so-called valid, legally binding edict from DOJ is nothing more than a kosher certified yadam fruckwad lie. And I did say fruck, as in frog trucking, fruck. Fruckwad lie.
I got it.
All right. Now, there is a guy on BitChute, a Dr. Michael McDowell. This was just mm-hmm. texted to me. Dr. Michael McDowell, MC, McDowell, mm-hmm. full explanation of SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon agenda. I haven't mm-hmm. seen it yet. That's the title. Full explanation, okay. SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon agenda. Well, that tweaked my memory, my friend, to Synagogue of Satan. Mm-hmm. In 1869, at the funeral of Grand Rabbi Simeon ben Ayuda, Rabbi Reichhorn declares, thanks to the immensely terrible power of our international bank, yeah. we Talmudic Jews have forced Christians into wars without number. Wars have special value for us Talmudic Jews since Christians massacre each other. Make more room for us.
Let me ask something real quick, Frank, because I need to get going here and say, who's the writer for that article? I'm going to look it up. Who's the writer for that text you got for the article about the bioweapon?
Right.
Yeah, who is it?
That's Dr. Michael McDowell, M-C-D is David, O-W-E-L-O. Dr. Okay. Michael McDowell, it's on BitChute, full explanation, SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon agenda. And the reason okay. I just recited what I did is yeah. because J.S., probably 10 weeks ago, recited the names, and you can see it for yourself if you haven't, Professor David Martin, by the title, it's a patented plan mass murder of billions. It's a patented okay. plan mass murder of billions. That's with Stu Peters, David Martin. You scroll down the byline of the data inputters, You'll see a name, Septel, S-E-P, like September, Septel. Yeah. And he lists, or she lists, the names of the Centers for Disease Creation and Promotion Leadership, including Pfizer's CEO, Albert Bourla, Tal Zaks of Moderna. And I'll leave you with this. In Karen Kingston's latest installment with Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog, by the title, COVID-19 Poisons Confirmed, here's what she says about the Moderna that was authorized in August. 100 micrograms of various mRNA.
Yeah, saw that.
She said that's, you have no chance if you've gotten that. But
right,
Pfizer,
right.
She said, is 30 micrograms.
30,
she said,
right.
It's still deadly.
Saw that. Yeah, saw that.
Okay, carry on.
Okay, appreciate it. Back to the phones here. Tim in Washington, you're on the show.
Yeah, Steve, how am I coming through?
Sounds good. Go for it.
Okay. All right, Steve. Well, I got to bust your knuckles, only because you won't leave it alone. But you and I both know truth is truth, right? Doesn't matter what we believe. What matters is what the truth is. So let me ask you this question. What's the highest point on the Earth?
The highest point on the Earth?
Yeah.
One of the mountains, right? One of the mountains, what is it, Kilimanjaro? What?
No, I suppose you should have said Mount Everest, but that's okay. Well,
I thought Kilimanjaro was higher than Everest, no?
Well, maybe it is, maybe. But okay. The highest point on Earth is actually a mountain in the bulge of the Earth. The bulge of the Earth is at 7 or 14 miles high, and then there's a mountain range on top of that, which would make it the highest. They say in Antarctica, there's other mountain ranges that are higher. So if I were to tell you, it's been 6 years now, there was an in-depth study, in-depth poll of 10,000 people on this particular question. 38% went against settled science in regard to this particular poll. So if you have that many, it's 100 million people. So if you have, for that long a distance, that much time, and that many people, and you always talk about, look, you know, if you pour a glass of water on a tabletop, it's going to flow off.
Are you going into flat Earth, Tim?
Have you Googled the images of ice?
Are you
wall
going into flat
around?
Earth? I'm asking you a question. Are you going into flat Earth right now? Yes or no?
Yeah.
You are. Okay, drop the call. Drop the call. Drop it, Mike. We're talking about COVID. We're talking about some other things. And now somebody comes off this with flat Earth. We're not talking about that. Call Coast to Coast AM, okay? I don't want to talk about flat Earth. I'm talking about COVID. I'm talking about this nightmare we have trying to keep our jobs. You understand that, Tim? I don't give a damn about flat Earth. It's crazy talk anyway. All right, Mike, let's play this clip here before it's too late. NBA basketball player asking questions back to the press and pretty intelligent guy. Good stuff.
All right, next segment, people. Let's talk a little bit about vaccines and everything going on with COVID. And as I've been saying to you, I'm sort of feeling lately that because it's very obvious that COVID is never going away, it's going to be this constant cudgel that they can always use to control us and lock us down and put more rules on us and all of the stuff that you all get, right? Since they're always going to do that, I feel like if I talk about it a little bit less, maybe it'll give it a little less oxygen. And if you guys just go about your life, as you see fit, maybe that's the only way we get past this thing. It's not going to be a top-down thing where they suddenly start saying to us, oh, you can have your life back. But there were two interesting videos that I saw this morning from NBA players talking about vaccines. And we know, by the way, that there are many, many. I don't know if we have specific numbers on it yet. Are there specific numbers on NFL and NBA and MLB players taking vaxes? But we know that there are a ton of professional athletes who don't want to take the vaccines, right? These are people usually in their early 20s, mid-20s, who are at the peak of physical performance, right? Who eat right, who exercise, who take care of themselves, who we all wish we could basically emulate and look like and live that kind of life. And a lot of them are saying we don't want to get vaccinated. Actually, Michael's showing me some numbers right now. In the NFL, it appears that 93% are vaccinated. I mean, we'll see what happens to those other 7%. But there were two videos yesterday that are going viral right now. This first one is Orlando Magic player Jonathan Isaac talking about vaccines, talking about immunity and everything else. And just listen to this video. It's about a minute long. And you tell me who makes more sense, this guy or Fauci.
What is it about the vaccine that makes you hesitant to get it?
I would start with I've had COVID in the past, and so our understanding of antibodies, of natural immunity, has changed a great deal from the onset of the pandemic, and is still evolving. I understand that the vaccine would help if you catch COVID, and you'll be able to have less symptoms from contracting it. But with me having COVID in the past and having antibodies, with my current age group and physical fitness level, it's not necessarily a fear of mine. Taking the vaccine, like I said, it would decrease my chances of having a severe reaction, but it does open me up to the, albeit rare, chance, but the possibility of having an adverse reaction to the vaccine itself. I don't believe that being unvaccinated means infected, or being vaccinated means uninfected. You can still catch COVID with or without having the vaccine. I would say, honestly, the craziness of it all, in terms of not being able to say that it should be everybody's fair choice without being demeaned or talked crazy to, doesn't make one comfortable to do what said person is telling them to do. I would say that's a couple of the reasons that, I would say I'm hesitant at this time, but at the end of the day, I don't feel that it is, anyone's reason to come out and say, well, this is why or this is not why. It should just be their decision. And, loving your neighbors, not just loving those that agree with you or look like you or move in the same way that you do. It's loving those who don't.
Gosh, isn't that refreshing? Not only the information of what he's saying, that he had COVID, he talks about natural immunity, talks about the fact that just because you haven't been vaccinated doesn't mean you automatically have COVID, all of that stuff, but just the tenor and tone with which he speaks, right? That is a good, decent man. We are so bereft, we're so void at this point of good, decent people on television or in the thought leader space, that when you hear someone, just a decent guy, this is an NBA player, we just checked his stats, he's averaged about 10 points a game, he's been in the league for a couple seasons. I actually never heard of him. I don't watch the NBA anymore, as you know, because of the politics that they've injected into the league. So I don't even know who he was. But like, that's a good man. Like, that's somebody I would like to have dinner with and chat with. And he talks about mutual respect and everything else at the end. And it's like, which message? Is that not a message that we should be hearing more of, right? Which message are we always getting? You better do what we say, or you're evil, or you're racist, or you're an anti-vaxxer, or a conspiracy theory. Here is a decent man telling you the truth, telling you the absolute truth. We've got another video, actually, from another NBA player. This is Washington Wizards player, and I did know of him because he's been playing for a couple of years now, Bradley Beal.
Every player, every person in this world is going to make their own decision for themselves. I would like an explanation to, people with vaccines. Why are they still getting COVID? If that's something that we are supposed to highly be protected from. Like, it's funny that, it reduces your chances of going to the hospital. It doesn't eliminate anybody from getting COVID, right? So is everybody in here vaxxed? I would assume, right? So you all can still get COVID, right?
We're less likely to die or go to the hospital.
Okay, but you can still get COVID, right? So, and you can still pass it along with the vax, right? I'm just asking a question.
So, having COVID back around the Olympics, basically just saying, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but did having it change your opinion one way or another? Like, did it kind of reemphasize, I don't need the vaccine?
Nice.
No, that wasn't the case. I mean, Yeah, I had it, but that doesn't mean I can't get it again, you know? I mean, it's no different than somebody with the vaccine. Like, I can, yes, I developed the antibodies for it, so my chances will be less likely now as well, right? But it's still a possibility. I may get it, just like there are players and coaches and staff who are vaxxed and missing camp right now because of it, so.
Bradley Beal of the Washington Wizards, who you saw right there, is asking better questions than anyone in the press corps is asking of this administration. Even when he says the line there, he goes, I'm just asking a question. Didn't that feel kind of interesting to you? Because we're kind of being told at this point that we can't ask questions. We better just obey. But his questions are completely valid, much like his commentary is completely valid. In America, I think, and for a limited time remaining, we're still allowed to ask questions. You're still allowed to question authority. You're still allowed to push back. You're still allowed to say, I am an autonomous individual and I can make decisions for myself. I wonder how much longer these two guys will be in the NBA, because the NBA is not too kind to people who push back, right? The NBA has made it very clear that they are a political organization backing Black Lives Matter, that you're not allowed to talk anti-China. And I wonder if it's going to be a little harder for those guys to get contracts right now, which is why so many people are silent. We did get a little more info on the vaccinated percentages of professional athletes. So I said before, the NFL, 93% vaccinated. NBA, it appears 90%. Vaccinated. But also keep this in mind. Not only are these guys at the height of physical fitness and all of that and eat right and all of the things that you're supposed to do that we don't talk about anymore, right? We don't talk about diet. We don't talk about exercise. We just tell you to stay home and order in Chinese food. All of that. Not only is that all true, but the absolute farce that sports has become, where coaches wear masks when they're on the sideline. And guess what happens? Then they call a timeout and everyone huddles around and the coach is screaming with the mask. So he always takes the mask down. We've all seen these videos. Or players, they play in the game. They're sweating on each other, spitting on each other, bleeding on each other, hacking each other, scratching each other and everything else. That's fine on the court. Then they get on the bench and they put the mask on. It's all nonsensical theater.
Nonsensical theater. 100% accurate. Good clip. And two athletes that really surprised me that were asking the questions they should be asking and not getting any answers. You notice the dodging of the question there. Yeah, you all been vaxxed. So you could get it, and you still end up in the hospital. I've had it. I have natural immunity now, antibodies to the virus. So, again, this is not about health. They're flip-flopping at everything. Everything is not what they tell you it is. So I'll be back again tomorrow night, taking over for John Stadmiller. This is the National Interport. Steve Elkin signing off. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night.
Take America back. We must take America back. Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.